All right, take your Bibles back out, if you would, and turn to Genesis chapter 26. And we're going to wrap up a message that we started a couple of weeks ago on the beautiful bequests of God.
This is part three, in case you're wondering.
The main lesson that we're carrying with us through this series of services, messages, is this: God is always present with us. Amen? He's always present with his people, and he's able to bequest upon them his beautiful blessings. Have you been blessed this week? Blessings come from the Lord, do they not? Amen. Their origins come from him. In short, as the old hymn goes, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. This is the truth that we are learning from chapter 26 of Genesis. And it's something that we need to remember, especially in those defining moments when we have to take a step of faith. Have you ever heard the story of the elephant in the ambulance? Well, listen to it. This is the story. A woman's red station wagon was crushed by an elephant at a circus. Odd. The owners of the elephant apologized to her, explaining that their elephant, for some reason, simply liked to sit on red cars. In spite of the damage, though, the woman's car was still drivable, so she got in it, and she was on her way home, and she was stopped short of getting home by an accident that a couple of other cars were in. And so when the ambulance arrived a few minutes later, the ambulance drivers took one look at her car and then ran over to her to see if she needed any help. "Oh, I wasn't involved in the accident," she said. "An elephant sat on my car." Well, the ambulance attendants quickly bundled her off to the hospital for possible shock and head trauma to this lady. Sometimes it's just simply hard to believe the truth. Sometimes we have the hardest time believing the truth. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. I just declared a truth that is fully supported by the Bible, that God will take care of you. But sometimes it's very hard for you and for me to believe that truth, isn't it? We look around and we see things that just we know aren't right. We look around and we have backaches. We have surgeries. We lose jobs, we get jobs, a loved one is ill. Things happen and we just wonder, Lord, why aren't you taking care of me? Sometimes the truth is hard to believe. But whether we believe it or not, it's still the truth. And God doesn't need you to believe it in order to take care of you. And my friends, I'm glad of that, aren't you? I am so thankful that my unbelief does not thwart the power of God to bequest blessing upon his people. But wouldn't it be so much better if we just believed it? How many of you had sleepless? You don't have to raise your hands. It's a rhetorical question. You can if it makes you feel better. How many of you had sleepless nights this week? How many of you have been stressed this week? How many of you have been anxious about something that is just completely out of your control to do anything about? How many of you been there this week? And in that defining moment, instead of believing the truth, you disregarded it. And you ended up with a sleepless night and maybe working on an ulcer. How much more peaceful would it be if we lived within the borders of the truth of God's Word in that peaceful place with Him? Amen? Amen. We've learned four things that God bequeathed upon Isaac. I think it's the next slide. There we go. The first thing we've learned about a beautiful bequest was the promise of God's blessing is in verses 1 through 6. The same promise that Isaac received from the father is the promises that Abraham received from the father. And if you've read the New Testament, you know that Abraham is to be seen as one of the greatest men of faith without ever receiving the promises of God. Right? The beautiful bequest Isaac had. And then we also saw this, the presence of God's benevolence. If you recall, Isaac did the same thing that Papa Abraham did when they were leaving because of a famine. He was heading to Egypt. God cut him off and sent him to Gerar. And there he met up with King Abimelech, which was not his ally. It was really his enemy. He didn't want anything good to happen to him. And we'll see that today. And remember, Isaac said that Rebekah is not my wife but my sister, because he had a lack of faith in the defining moment. God can't take care of me. My wife's just too pretty for him to do that. And so God benevolently used King Abimelech to bring him back, right? King Abimelech spoke the truth. And then later in those verses, we also see, in spite of his sinfulness, his lack of faith, God gave Abraham or Isaac a hundredfold. He was the wealthiest man in all of Gerar, which made King Abimelech dislike him even more. So God was benevolent to him. Then we saw the peace within God's border last week. And so, no, that's not right. I put the wrong point up there. But anyway, we saw the place of God's broadcast, did we not? Where God came and spoke to Isaac once again and reminded him that he was going to receive these promises. And so the fifth of these bequests we see this morning, and that is the peace within God's border. I got those backwards. So the peace within God's border. That third point was the patience required for God's bounty. Okay? So here we go. We're going to look at the peace within God's border. Look at verse 26 with me. Let me remind you of these scriptures before we dive into them, and then let's pray. This is what the Bible says. When Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Ahuza, his advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his army, Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you?" Then they said, "We see plainly that the Lord..." Now you notice that the Lord is in all capital letters, right? That's significant. That is the proper name given to God. It is that name that's unutterable, okay? And so it's Jehovah they're talking about. Now, why is that a big deal? Because it was not the pantheon pick'em of the God of the Philistines that spoke and told this to King Abimelech, but it was who? Jehovah who spoke to him. God spoke to him and revealed this truth to him. So he didn't come and say, "Well, my God's told me this." No, it was your God, Isaac, who told me this, that I see this. Okay, so that's a big deal. So he says, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you." So we said, "Let there be a sworn pact between us," can't blame him for that, "between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm." Had Isaac ever tried to do them harm? No. So you see how King Abimelech is turning these words to make himself look a little bit better. "Just as we have not touched you." Oh, no, they didn't touch him, did they? They just kicked them out into the desert. That's all they did. And they filled up the wells that they were going to depend upon. Oh, we didn't touch you. King Abimelech wasn't his ally. He was his enemy. So he goes on to say, "We have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good." Boy, I hate to see what bad would look like. "And have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of Jehovah," here again, "the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. In the morning they rose early and exchanged oaths. And Isaac sent them on their way, and they departed from him in peace. That same day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well that they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." He called it Sheba, or Sheba, the well of oath, or well of seven. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. Well, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We are on a journey, Lord. We are trying to work our faith out, and that's why we come to church, that we could work our faith out as we hear your word taught, as we hear it preached, as we hear it read, as we see who you are and learn who we are, that we are your people, that you are our Lord, our Jehovah, and you're able to take care of us. And so, Lord, this morning, I just pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for the treasure of your word, that we would dine on it robustly. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's amazing how God can turn our enemies into our allies and bring peace to us. God will, say it with me, take care of you. This is what the verse says. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. And that's what we're seeing here in the text, as God taking care of Isaac. So what we know so far up to this point is that Isaac was kicked out of Gerar by King Abimelech. Isaac was getting too wealthy, too powerful, so jealousy, whatever it was, drove him out. And we know that behind him being driven out really is the invisible hand of God. God's all about that. He's thrown into the desert with his caravan of servants and animals, and I guess he's taking his food with him into the desert. And there King Abimelech throws him out there so he can watch him die. Watch his servants die. Watch his animals die. And to make sure that was going to happen, the wells are filled up so there's nothing to drink. A divine inconvenience. Now, I shared this with the Sunday school a little bit earlier today. Elizabeth Elliot, if you ladies need a solid Christian mentor, Elizabeth Elliot, write her name down. You should get under her teaching. She calls these blessed inconveniences, and I call them divine inconveniences. And it truly was a divine inconvenience. Was it convenient to be kicked out of Gerar into the desert? Was it convenient to pick up all your stuff and move to a different place and meet some neighbors along the way that you called contentious and hostile? Is that convenient? It is not. It's an inconvenience, but it's a divine inconvenience. It is, as Elizabeth Elliot would say, look at everything that happens through you through the lens of God, that it points you to the Lord, that this inconvenience is somehow a part of his divine plan for your life, and through it all, he will take care of you. A divine inconvenience. Anybody had those this week? If y'all would have saw me on Friday, you would have saw me with a divine inconvenience. I tell you what, it was awful. My truck got a flat tire on it when I was out mowing. And from that point on, everything went wrong changing that tire. And these words came back to haunt me. All right, David, somehow, in some way, this has been filtered through the hands of God, and he wants you to see it through that filter. Took a little bit of the sting out. Because can you get mad at God? Well, you can, but you sure can't stay mad at him. That's not a good thing. Divine inconveniences. I'm sure you've experienced some of those this week. I'm sure you've experienced enemies in your life. People who don't want good for you, but want ill for you. Divine inconveniences. Think of them as a gift from the Lord. That's hard to do, is it not? But God's in it. He's going to take care of you. So the Philistines here even took the wells that rightfully belonged to Isaac. They belonged to his father Abraham. And all along, God was providentially leading Isaac through the wilderness there, not for his ruin, but for his rise. God was moving him to a place where he could spread out, where God would take care of his enemies, but he had to move him through the desert to get there. And I think there's a truth here that we need to understand, that even in a desert, it can become an oasis for God's people. God can turn the desert-like times in our lives into periods and times of oasis. And what I mean by that is those places where he grows our faith. And does anybody's faith need to grow here today? Does anybody need a deeper faith in God? Well, just maybe the way God's going to do that is put you through those divine inconveniences to get you there. To get you to a place where no matter what comes your way, you have the peace of God because you know God's going to take care of you. And I don't think any of us could stand that. I'm looking at folks I don't think could stand any of that. Right? Right? Stop it, Pastor. You're picking on us this morning. So nothing could thwart God's plan to fulfill his promises to Isaac. Not a desert, not contentious, evil neighbors, not plugged up wells, not even a nasty government, King Abimelech, an evil government, could thwart God's providential plans to prosper Isaac and his family. Now, did you notice the conclusion that King Abimelech finally comes to? Look with me in verse 28. This is what King Abimelech finally concludes. We see plainly that Jehovah, that your God, the Lord, has been with you, you think? God, now this is wonderful because God validates his own promises to Isaac through the mouth of his enemy. Did you catch that? God puts truth in the mouth of a pagan king and speaks it back to his man. I can see the Lord is with you. I can see plainly, clearly, God has revealed this to me, and now I'm telling you, God's with you, man. And this is coming from a pagan person. Now, it's something when a Christian tells you God's with you, because we go, oh, we know that, right? Pastor telling you that, oh, Pastor, we know that. But when a pagan, unsaved enemy comes to you and says, I'm raising the white flag up here because your God is bigger than me, and let me tell you, he's with you. Sometimes that means more to us than when God just uses another Christian person to speak it to us. God has got King Abimelech right where he wants him. So much so that he can speak truth through him. Tell me our God's not big. Tell me our God can't do anything. Tell me. I'll call you a liar. There is nothing impossible for our God to do. He knows right where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows the desert, and he can create an oasis there, an oasis there. He knows the enemy, and he can turn him into an ally. And he can speak truth through the most unpredictable things. I think he even used a mule one time, did he not? To speak his truth. Our God is big. There's nothing that he can't do. And I know that he can take care of you. Amen. That's good stuff, Pastor David. That's good stuff. So King Abimelech knew what God was doing for Isaac. He raises the white flag and he says, you know what, I can't beat this God. Even though I've tried to beat his man, I've sent him out into the desert for economic destruction and for ruin. And yet here he is, still alive. He's still kicking. He's still going. Everything's still going his way. There must be something behind this man that's doing this, and it's the Lord God Almighty. And what Abimelech knew was, I think I could beat the man, but I can't beat the God of the man. And so I'll give in. I'll just give in. And I'll try to make myself look good when I do it, right? So the invisible hand of God, we can never count His invisible hand out, all right? His invisible hand, the providential hand of God, is behind all things. And He's moving in the direction He wants to move. So I believe God raised King Abimelech up for God's glory that day. Clearly, your Lord is with you, he's saying, and we can't overcome his goodness towards you. We can't overcome his benevolence. We can't overcome these beautiful bequests. So we're just going to raise the white flag. I'm reminded of what Paul said under the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Notice the second conclusion King Abimelech came to in verse 29. Look there in your Bibles. It's similar to the first conclusion in verse 28. King Abimelech finally concluded, you are now the blessed of Jehovah. You are now the blessed of the Lord. In other words, we've done everything we can to bring you down, but nothing has worked. The evil intentions that we had to bring destruction to you, Isaac, God has meant for your good. Do you know that? Truth in your own life personally? When evil people try to do evil to God, their destructiveness is meant for our good. I believe that's pretty biblical. We're going to come to that story a little later. I think in Genesis chapter 50, we're going to come to that. So we see a taste of that here. The intentions of this wicked king to destroy Isaac are all used for Isaac's good. Seeing God's hand a blessing upon Isaac, King Abimelech doesn't want to become his enemy, and more to the point, he doesn't want to become the enemy of Isaac's God, and so he wants to strike up this peace agreement with Isaac. Verse 28, let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you, okay, and have done to you nothing but good. That's a far stretch of the truth, don't you think? And have sent you away in peace. Yeah, peace to die. That's what he sent him away in. And all along, King Abimelech thought, really, I'm in control. I'm going to take this guy down. Then he realizes that he wasn't. And he found out who was in control. And that was Isaac's God. God revealed himself to it. You know, the Bible reaffirms this over and over again. Write this verse down. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible says this, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he will. That's what he's doing to King Abimelech here. And then in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Straight from God's word. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. Are you starting to believe it? Are you starting to believe it? Is that seed of belief starting to grow in your hearts and in your heads? God sustains and God governs all of His creatures and all of His creation. That's His job. That's what He does. He does it effortlessly. He does it with all wisdom. He does it with all goodness. And so now King Abimelech wants to make sure he secures this peace with Isaac. And Isaac has peace within God's borders. Did you see that? The beautiful bequest. The peace within God's borders. And so to seal the deal, Isaac throws a feast, a typical thing for them to have done, and they exchange these oaths. These oaths are more like a curse than anything. If one or the other party would break the pact, it was a curse on the pact, on the one who broke it. And so the Bible tells us, then they departed, verse 31, from him in peace, not to bother him again. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. Now listen to this. It applies directly to what we're seeing going on in these verses in Genesis chapter 26. This is what the Bible says. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isaac had obeyed the Lord. He followed the Lord into the desert. God providentially brought him out to this place of peace. And to even show him that this was a place of peace, what did they find? Water. What do you need in a desert-like land? Water. The third of the wells that they dug. And in this, they named this well Sheba or Sheba, which it could mean well of the seven or well of the oath, and probably that's what it's referring to here, the well of the oath between King Abimelech and Isaac. We call that, remember last week what we talked about when we were saying those spiritual markers in our lives? This was another one of those spiritual markers where Isaac could look at this well and see that God has brought me peace within the place where he wants me to preside. He's brought me peace. Even with my enemy, he's brought peace. So this is a place where Isaac walked by faith and God bequested him with this beautiful thing, peace with his enemy. His enemy became his ally. Amen? A spiritual marker so that he would not forget this happening, this thing taking place, the blessing and the prosperity of God. And so there we have it. The beautiful bequest that we see here from God to Isaac. There's peace within God's borders. Now let me ask you a question. Are we living within God's borders? Are we following him to the places that he would have us to live? Are we living within God's border? Now, I want to point this out to you so that when the enemy raises his head or her head there, that you don't think, where are you at, the Lord? What are you doing here? What I want to point out is that even when we live within the borders of God, there are still enemies of God's people. We see that in this text. But who took care of his enemy? God. God wanted Isaac to follow him in faith, and then God would take care of the things that Isaac couldn't. And that's what we're seeing here. So in our own lives today, you know, don't think God's not taking care of me because there's these things that are happening to me that I don't think should be happening to me. There's this bad person. There's these bad things that are going on. Well, that doesn't mean that God can't take care of you. And I hope you remember these verses to remember that truth. They're what we would call divine inconveniences. They're not permanent. Because God is in control and he's going to take care of you. If you follow and walk behind him and live within his borders. The thing is, God overrules everything. God rules over everything. He overrules everything. And even in the book of Isaiah, we see this in chapter 26, verse 3. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So God was pleased with Isaac, for Isaac had trusted the Lord. And so here's the question, is God pleased with you and me? Are we trusting the Lord? When we can't see clearly, are we trusting the Lord to lead and guide us? If he is, that alone should bring peace to us. Knowing this truth, that God will keep in perfect peace, him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That should be a verse you put on your refrigerator. That's a verse you need to read every day. I know I could read it every day. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus reminds us of this reality, that even in the center of God's will, there is bad things. He says this, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus overrules the world, y'all. Amen? Amen. One wise pastor, Adrian Rogers, said this. This is what I was trying to remember last week. I couldn't remember. So I got it this week. This is what he said. "Everything over my head is under God's feet." Amen. What a wise saying to remember. Everything over my head is under God's feet. Even a flat tire on a truck. Even a lug nut that's stripped out that you can't get loose on a truck. Even a jack that won't jack high enough to get the tire off the truck once you get all the lug nuts loose. In a hot parking lot with the sun blazing on you, a divine inconvenience. But do you know what? You know where that truck is today? Right out there in that parking lot. God will take care of you. You know how God took care of us on Friday? I've got a buddy who runs a tire place. I called him up. "The man, I need your help." He said, "What do you need?" I said, "My tire, my lug nut stripped. Can't get it off." He said, "I'll come out to you." He found out where I was. He said, "That's too far." I said, "Well, let me call my wife." Called her. He says, "I'll give her all the tools you need, and I'll tell her what you need to do." She brought me the tools, told me what I needed to do, and guess what? That lug nut came off. Didn't know the jack wouldn't jack the truck up high enough to get the tire off, so I had to put three lug nuts back on it. Didn't put the stripped one on it. Put three back on it, lower the truck down, and then I needed something to put the jack on to raise it up. I didn't have anything. Called another buddy. I said, "Man, I need some 2x4s or something, a couple pieces." He says, "Well, I'm at the beach, but I'll call my guy and he'll bring them to you." So by the time he's calling his guy to bring those boards to me, another friend of mine rolls into the parking lot, and guess what he had? Had a couple of 2x4s, and he let me borrow them. He said, "You can just keep them." It's little pieces, you know, that big. Yeah, those little pieces are... Jack the truck up, get the lug nuts off, put the tire on, put all those lug nuts back on the tire. And you know the other blessing about it was Aaron was with me. I'm usually out there by myself. You know what he did for me that day? He got my big old umbrella out and stood over me and him with the umbrella. It lowered the temperature about 20 degrees. I'm telling you, that is God taking care. You see, sometimes we just get confused. We think it's the big spiritual things that God's just a part of, and all the other little things God's not interested in. I'm telling you that God's even interested in taking care of his people to change a tire. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, do you believe it? That's the question. Do you believe it? Many of us have experienced this is my closing story, Mary and Claire. Many of us have experienced ferocious lions up close, right? In the zoo. Did you know that when we're in a situation of anxiety and stress and fear, that God has designed our brain in such a way to secrete hormones that actually decrease our anxiety and fear. Did you know that? God has done that. Now, the other thing that decreases our anxiety and fear is when we're at the zoo, there's that big, thick piece of glass between us and the lion, right? But that's the way God's designed us. When we face stress, when we face fears, He's made our brain to secrete this hormone to help us cope with it. It tempers our fear, in other words. Now, here's the spiritual application. That tempering of fear, of stress and anxiety, is what our faith in God is all about. It's that faith that helps us to look at enemies as nothing more than a divine inconvenience. And that's it. It's that faith in God that keeps us moving in the direction that God wants us to move in spite of the fear. Now, the thing about it is sometimes we let our fear overrule our faith. And when we do that, we have sleepless nights and stress, and we even work on getting ulcers. The key to it is to remember those spiritual markers in our lives. When in places where we just didn't know what would happen or how we were going to get through, we did. All by the invisible, providential hand of God. That's what we see in the life of Isaac, that God was governing all things for Isaac's good. And I believe He's doing that for us as well. So there it is. God will take care of you. Now, I can't promise that to you if you're not in Christ. No promises whatsoever. So the first key step in securing the peace of God is to have peace with God. And the only means that the Bible gives us for having peace with God is by confessing our sins, admitting that we're a sinner, repenting of those sins, and placing our faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. That is the way peace with God is secured. So that's the first step. Do you have peace with God in Jesus Christ? If you don't, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And what you need to do is simply confess that you're a sinner, that you have sinned against God, and that you need the Savior, Jesus Christ's blood, to cover your sins and forgive you of those sins. You need to repent of that and turn from it and turn to God. If you've never done that, that's the first step. Now, if you have done that, and I feel like I'm looking at quite a few people that have, then what you have to do is to believe. You have to have faith. Do you believe God will take care of you? Let's pray together. Our Father, Jesus said, Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, you will give the sinner rest from the wrath of God if they will turn to you in repentant faith. Lord, you will give the Christian pilgrim rest if we will just simply trust in you and believe in you and follow you. You tell us, take your yoke and learn from you, that you are gentle, that you are lowly in heart, and we can find rest for our souls. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord Father, send your Holy Spirit, work in our hearts and in our minds even now. Show us the work that we need to do. Give us the faith that we need to do the work. And help us to do it all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.